Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
World open. And forever, her life path was guided by this scripture. A family moved to Sacramento in 1867. She joined the local Methodist church, and believe it or not, you can find your spouse in church. There's at least Lizzie did. Lizzie married Joseph Bly, whom she met in church. And in 1889, the evangelist Samuel P. Jones came to Sacramento. She went to the revival, had a religious conversion even more deeply, committed herself to Christian service. Even though she had come to live a life of ease in the Bly mansion, Lizzie didn't stay there. She soon established missions in the heart of Sacramento for those most destitute, working there herself and often giving her testimony. In fact, she became well-loved amongst the poor of Sacramento. But that was just the beginning. She began to live more and more simply so she would have more to give away. She would tell her husband, "I don't want expensive gifts on my birthday and Christmas. Give me money instead so that I can give it away." Imagine that. So I can give it away. It was Lizzie who helped Central Church get on its feet financially. The spiritual life that Central has offered the city of Sacramento for generations is because of her generosity. One of the things I find fascinating about Lizzie is the way that she discerned what she should do. Lizzie didn't just go and develop a think tank. She didn't sit around in committees trying to figure out what we should do, what's our agenda, what's our strategic plan. She would go up to people and say, "What do you need? What do you need?" She went to San Francisco, which at the turn of the century, what was the name of San Francisco, the nickname?
Frisco.
No, Frisco. Since they needed someone say, Baghdad by the Bay. It was filled with bad words. And so she went up to working women, and she said to them, "What's the most important thing working women need?" And she was told a safe and affordable place to live. Still. She built Mary Elizabeth Inn, named after her two daughters, an 80-unit housing for working women that still exists today and is owned by United Methodist Women. Upon learning that San Francisco was one of the most unchurched cities in the nation, she decided to do something about it. So she bought a plot of land at Taylor and Ellis, and Glidemore Church was built. With Lizzie's firm foundation, the church has grown into her vision, keeping with her commitment to reaching out to the poorest of the poor. Today, Glide serves nearly a million free meals. We have an HIV and Hep C testing and counseling service. We have affordable housing, education and child care, recovery, and we continue to draw children and people from around the world for engaging in transformative worship. All this because of Lizzie's encounter with scripture as a child. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food." Each week, you and I get to stand in the holy ground that Lizzie Bly made possible. She loved God so much that she put her love into action by caring for her brothers and sisters in Christ in ways that she could. Some would have looked at her choices and scoffed at her. Why should a woman of means concern herself with those who have less? But Lizzie was guided by her faith, which was informed by scripture. It caused her to live generously in outrageous ways that the world couldn't always understand. Today's scripture is about living faith audaciously. Now, it's important it's important. And if there's a Bible here, go back to that scripture and see what's happening earlier in that chapter. Because the chapter starts with a familiar story. The story of the loaves and fishes. We all know what happened. Jesus had done all these miracles, and people wanted to follow him. So they followed him out in the desert for 3 days. And after 3 days, people were hungry. And I don't know about you, but I know when I have a group that's hungry, blood sugars go down, and it gets messy. So the disciples were like, Jesus, do what you can to get rid of these guys and women and kids. We can't handle all of this. But what did Jesus do? He gathered what they had, which was a few loaves, a few fishes. He blessed it. And then began to share. And at the end of the sharing, those thousands of people had their fill, and there were bushels left over. No one went away hungry. It was funny. How did this happen? Someone once told me a fascinating story about the scripture to explain it. In Jesus' day, you know, they wore those wonderful robes. And those robes had really deep pockets. Really deep pockets upon which people carried their food. Because living in such a harsh environment like the desert, you never wanted to be without food. And so what happened that day, when people saw the disciples and Jesus sharing what they had, people brought out what they had and began to share. The miracle of the loaves and fishes isn't so much what happened to the bread and to the fish, but it is what happened to the people who were with the crowd. It was the fact that they let go of their own fears of self-preservation, hiding what they had, and instead shared it with others. It was the loosening of their heart and of their hand that is the true miracle of the loaves and fishes. I don't know if you tweet in church. Do you tweet in church? I'm going to give you a tweetable lie. Lizzie Bly was a loose woman. She was an astute businesswoman. But as a follower of Jesus, she knew she had to let go of the very things that made her comfortable if she was to be faithful. And what an impact she had. Just take a look around. Audacious, faithful living. My brothers and sisters, it is in our spiritual DNA. Methodists are heirs of John Wesley. And I can tell you, I am such a Methodist. London, it was 9 a.m. Too early to go to our hotel. So what do? We race across town to go to Wesley Chapel in time for noon prayers. And I loved visiting this place where John Wesley lived, and I was shocked at how simply he lived. Wesley had a lot to say about our spiritual commitments, how they ought to be visible through the choices we make. Our lives ought to be a reflection of our faith. And for Wesley, what we do with our money is key. It was Wesley who said, earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, invest as much as you can, and give as much as you can. And his life was a testament to that belief. In 1731, he began to keep his expenses low so he could give away as much of his money as he could. He earned 30 pounds that year. He lived on 28 and he gave two away. The following year, he made 60 pounds. He lived on 28, gave the rest away. The following year, he made 90 pounds. He lived on 28, gave the rest away. At the height of his career, he made 1,300 pounds a year. What did he live on? 28. He gave the rest away. This guy raised the suspicions of the English tax commissioner, because they figured he must have all this silver in his house that he wasn't paying taxes on. And this is what he told me. I have 2 silver spoons at London and 2 at Bristol. This is all the plate I have at present, and I shall buy no more while so many around me want bread. Lest we knew that faithful living requires audacious actions that the world doesn't always find logical. Think about your own life. I like to think about you and I as daughters of Lizzie Love. And I like to think of the Lizzie's ripple in our lives. How she can invite us to live audaciously and share in ways we didn't think we had it in us. Every day I get to see 2,000 people line up for food at Glide. People that would otherwise not eat if they didn't come to Glide. And one of the things that bugs me more than anything, when I hear people who aren't homeless say, why don't those people get a job? Because you know what? Being homeless is a full-time job. Let me share with you. If you were homeless, you would spend most of the day doing these things. The first is trying to figure out where you're going to sleep at night, a place that's safe. Then you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to need a bathroom. So you're going to need to find a place to go to the bathroom, brush your teeth. Then you're going to spend the day trying to find food. That is a full-time job unless you and I, who are not homeless, who are not jobless, are providing those basic needs for people. People will be unable to get out of homelessness and joblessness. So, every day I see people who have nothing come alive. And one of the things I was most moved by is how often I see this. If the meal service is closed, we often have sack lunches for people who come late. And people just sit outside live and sit down on the curb. And how often do I see a person open up their bag and begin to eat? And then another homeless person come along and say, I'm hungry. And they tear their sandwich and they give half away. That convicts me. That convicts me to realize that I am not living the life I ought to be living when so many have so little, when I have so much. This life, this journey to wholeness, this spiritual quest upon which each of us is walking requires us not to sit on the sidelines of life and play it safe. We are to live boldly with great risk and live audaciously. Everything we do ought to be about creating holy ground for those around us and for those who come after us. Lizzie Glide, like John Wesley, like the nameless ones who witness to us every day, invite us to live faith as audaciously as they have. Every step you take, every action you begin, every word you speak is an opportunity to walk more faithfully in the path that they forged. You can make a difference in this world. You can make the world a better place. You can help eradicate racism. You can help eradicate classism. You can help eradicate sexism. You can help eradicate heterosexism. You can give the hungry food. You can give shelter to the homeless. You can visit those who are sick and in prison. You can clothe the naked. You can leave a legacy of love and justice that those who will come after you will enjoy. Dare. I dare you. I double dare you. Use what you have for the sake of others. And watch what happens. You will find yourself living on holy ground. And the world will remember.
To make a difference, you gave your life to make a change. You welcomed all to your table. You're calling us to do the same. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. Working side by side, no out or inside. Together we can make that change. With a few or many, with a lot or not any. Together we can make that change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change. Crossing the great divide, joy and peace will abide. Together we can make that change. Jesus is our peace, all fighting will cease. Together we can make that change. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to make a change. I want my life to do some good here. I want my life to make a change.